Oh, welcome, I am the obscure nerd. Not a bird flying through your ears in this podcast format you hear right now. Yes, I am the obscure nerd. That's my new moniker. I've just given that name to myself. Okay, that wasn't terrible. That wasn't terrible. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I just decided now, this is episode one of this very professional show, which I've just called Obscure Nerd, because the first three titles I came up with were already taken by other podcasts. That's how you know you're onto something new. But I think it'll be interesting what we do here, what I do here. I'm alone right now in lovely Los Angeles. With a cat. So if you hear some meowing, that's a cat. That's not something weird going on. It's a cat, I swear. I'm a comedian. My name's Andy Southern. I guess I'm your host. That's what we're doing here. That was the theme song, which I decided at the top that I'm going to make up a new theme song for each episode. So that was the first improvised song called Obscure Nerd. It was a little aggressive, I won't lie. A little dramatic. I got to tone back the coming right out of the gate so strong. But what can you do? I'm glad you guys are with me. I decided, for this podcast, it's going to be really simple, you know. I'm kind of a weird guy. That's what people tell me anyways. I think I'm very hip. I probably just alienated half of the viewers. And I alienated the rest of them when I called listeners viewers. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm a weird guy. And I'm into a lot of weird things. I was like bouncing between like 20 ideas. Because I like a lot of specific sort of topics. And I like nerding out about it. It's kind of a fun passion. And I think it's a passion of a lot of ours. So each episode is going to be sort of loose, but also centered around a topic where we're just going to kind of dive into it. Sometimes with guests, sometimes by myself. I'm going to call them celebrities. Will I guarantee celebrities? We'll see. We'll see where we go. It's up to you or me. It's up to me. It's up to us because we're in this together. So there's going to be a lot of different topics. I'm into all sorts of things like genealogy, ancestry.com. Who doesn't love that? It's a great website. I was gifted a membership and we'll talk about that later. Video games, which I think is what today's topic is going to be. I should have saved that for the end, like a real radio professional, but I like to catch you guys off guard with the truth. I think I'm going to have some other ones about, music, specific music, maybe oldies, history in general, U.S. history. I think there's some interesting little topics we could dive into. Who knows? I'm speaking out loud here. That's what I do best. But the first topic I wanted to do was video games. Because it seems if you're going to have the word nerd in your title, you got to talk about at least something techie for the first one. I don't want to be too subversive to the genre, to the nerd title. By the way, I'm drinking Vella boxed wine here tonight. I'm not endorsing drinking, but I am enjoying it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I'm playing a character in that moment. That's what we'll say. I always say boxed wine is boxed wine. That's all that you really can say about it. I suppose you could say more, but that's all that needs to be said. Moving on. So, yeah, today's topic is video games. I'm going to go through a couple things. But before we get to that, I just want to get some things off my chest. Off my chest. See, I decided that there's going to be some topics, not topics, sections. You know what I mean. We're figuring this out. And the first one I'm going to talk about, just some general things happening. Get a little loose. I think you guys will relate. Because recently I went to the dermatologist, right? Let's get real personal. I go to the dermatologist. Because I'm having skin issues. There's a lot of wildfires out here. I was a little dry. I said, take a look at this. I got to be camera ready. For what? Who knows? Any camera. So there I am. I make an appointment. I say I'm going in on Monday. schedule it all out with work. I'm like, okay, this will be perfect. Perfect day. Nice trip to the dermatologist as they go. I get there. I get up to the desk. And this lady, very nice lady, receptionist, I suppose, is what you call them, a woman. Very nice. She says, oh, do you have an appointment? I said, yes. Yeah. She said, a little whoopsie. There's a problem there. I said, what's the problem? She said, the doctor forgot that he made an appointment with you. I'm getting tripped up because I'm so heated. Yeah, the doctor forgot about our appointment. And I said, that's peculiar because we made an appointment. That's kind of the definition that we both agreed on. And then she said, yeah, little whoopsie there. He also made an appointment with the golf club. Well, with a golf club at a golf course. In the bathroom, next to the foyer. And so he just forgot. They said, whoopsie doopsie, he put the golf into his calendar. He forgot to put your appointment, which PPO is paying a lot of money for. It's a healthcare reference. I'm trying to keep it topical. That's as far as I can go with that. So I had this moment, you know. I was like, get me in. Get me in with another doctor. Because I made an appointment. You know, I had one of those white people moments where you just feel like you can say whatever the hell you want. And I realized very quickly that I cannot say whatever the hell I want. As we all do. Because she says, he's our only doctor here. And then I had another white person moment. Where I said, does he have any appointments on Tuesday? And he did. Because he was in my network. What was I going to do? It was PPO. I'll acknowledge the fact that I am a little too white. I'm trying to change that. So, I don't know what any of us got out of that story. I hope it was something good, something bad. I hope you're taking a nap and you just woke up to halfway in between that and you're like, what the fuck am I listening to? I thought it's a comedian in the description. This is some sort of auditory torture. Just kidding. We all love this. You love this. I do too. I'm glad you're here. Whoever you are, I'm glad you're here. We're going to keep doing this because, well, why not? There aren't enough podcasts with the word nerd in them out there. That's what I say. Am I hoping that someone searching for one of those other podcasts accidentally stumbles upon this one? Of course I am. Because that would be nice. And if that's what happened to you, please stay. We're having fun. My voice is a little goofy, right? You like it. That's my way of subtly doing some subliminal messaging. Every 15 minutes, I'll just be like, you like it. See? That's what I do when I throw parties. Every 20 minutes or so, I run into the room and I go, we're all having fun. I swear. People get into it. People start to jump and do other things that people do. Anyway, let's move into the next segment. That was my opening story of an ongoing segment, which I'm going to call Opening Story. He tells a story or just rambles at the start. I admit it's a long title. It's a bit much. We'll cut it down. I workshopped that with somebody who was nominated for an Emmy in 1982, so you know it's good stuff. That was a good year for the Emmys. Anyway, before we get into this first and only topic, talking about video games, I've got some interesting angles on it that I think you'll enjoy, or at least find good enough to put on in the background while you do something more important. So I'm going to introduce it. Like I said, I'm trying to get more... cool. So I'm going to do a little freestyle rap for you guys. I hope you don't mind. It's a freestyle rap. That's what we're going to see what it is in just a second. Oh yeah. Okay. We're all getting in that mood, huh? Here we go. Video games, that's what we are podcasting about. All the people sitting out there gonna scream and shout and say, oh shit, that this is really, really cool. Andy, you are rapping about the video games. I'm at school. What? What? Listen to the words. Listen to the words as they flutter like the birds, flying through the air and then to the ground. What can you do when you hear that sound pop, pop? Yeah, that is me coming at you, coming at thee. That's what I said. I'm like Shakespeare. What can I do? I need a beer boy, beer boy. Can I get a beer boy? Gonna have to get a sponsorship from PBR. Oi, I think that is what I want. Word trip up, gotta flaunt my mistakes because they aren't what you think they are. Every mistake is just another lost bar that you drop on the people. Make them feel really crazy when they're sitting up in the bed. They won't be lazy no more. Anyway, I believe we're talking about video games. That was the topic I started with. Oh, I'm gonna stop it there. We'll do a little fade out. The fade out could have been better. And by the way, I'm surprised how that freestyle went. That was better than usual. Usually there's a lot of crying. There were some good raps in there, some good lines. I hope we had fun there. Anyway, I'm on to this topic. We're going to do some more raps throughout. And if you guys listen to this and you hate the raps, just let me know. But I'm having fun with it. Anyway, I'm taking a sip. That's the, I'm trying to paint a picture with my words. Picture painted. Dead air is just, it's just what it is. I thought I could come up with a metaphor. I could not. Anyway, I want to talk about this. So the first thing I want to nerd about, the topic, we've already repeated it several times. I guess I should start with my introduction. Because a lot of people look at me. I mean, if you're not watching a video of this, which I don't know if there is one, then you can probably guess what I look like. I'm a tall, skinny guy with glasses. Anyway, so yeah, I think I should start with where it all began. Because I've had a strange history with video games. I've always looked like I should be into it, and I always kind of was. I guess it began with Pokemon. If you listen, I'm not going to dwell on it. Just so you know, this is light nerd topics. We're going to touch each thing. But yes, it began with Pokemon. And I remember the very first time I ever heard about Pokemon. I was at the mall. The Springfield Mall in Illinois, Northern Illinois. And I'm there, it must have been 1998, I think, 98 or 99. And I'm at the little playground where parents leave their children while they go shop. And this kid comes running up to me. By the way, very rude kid. He was a stranger. He comes running up to me. I'm like, Jesus, I know we're both 4 years old, but could you cool your jets, buddy? And this kid comes running up. He's like, whoa, look at these cards. And I'm like, are they baseball cards? Because I'm a Pujols fan. And he said, no, Pokemon cards. I said, what the heck are you talking about? What the heck's are you talking about? And he goes, oh, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. And he brings the cards over to me. And they're Japanese. You know, it was the original Japanese cards. And I looked at them, had no idea what they said. Very strange images. And I said, I'm in. No further questions. I ran up to my mother. I said, hey. This strange kid came yelling at me about Pokemon cards. I don't know what the hell they are, but stock up, baby, because we're in. I like the pictures. All of a sudden, I was obsessed. We're watching the TV show. I had the VHSs of this show. Oh, there's the cat. Hello, cat. I had the VHSs of this show. Let me tell you. They did not put these like as seasons on a disc type of deal, you know. Each VHS was a different episode. So I hit the first season of Pokemon, and it was like 20 or 30-something VHSs. And they were like orange, I'm pretty sure, which was also strange. I just assumed they were cutting corners. What can be expected these days? Or those days? Them days? I'll think about it. So anyway, that was what happened. And then all of a sudden I'm getting into the video game, right? Pokemon what was that game? Pokemon Red. That was the first one I got. And I was obsessed with this thing. Oh, boy. I mean, you talk about summer vacation, and it is different from how it is now. It's where kids just stay inside and play video games, because what we used to do in the early 2000s is we would go outside, but instead of doing active activities outside, we would just go sit in a park and then play video games there, like real kids. We had our little Game Boy Advances. What do you, the Game Boy Advance SPs later on. We're playing these games. Way too many hours. Probably hundreds of hours. Thousands of hours. Who knows? Hopefully somebody can relate. Hopefully I haven't alienated too many people. I know there's Pokemon people out there. And I still play it occasionally. Not like I used to. So after the Pokemon days, I was a casual gamer most of the time with the consoles and all that. You know, I had a PS1, the PS2, all that good old stuff. But it wasn't until the Xbox 360, which many of us probably have fond memories of, and many of us have very aggressive memories of. I remember Halo 3. And we'd play these, when I got my 360, I said, I don't really know what to play on this, because I was mostly into, like, fighting games, you know, your Mortal Kombat. I like the Dragon Ball Z fighting games on the PlayStation. Shout out to my people. A couple other things. You know, Spyro. Big Spyro fan on PS1. Do not get me started. You already have. But that's all I really have to say about it. I was misleading with the whole do not get you started thing. But anyway, I really got aggressively into these games for a short period of time. Because I used to watch that channel G4. Now, I hope you guys remember G4. It had Adam Sessler and what's her name? Kevin Ferreira, that guy, and Olivia Munn. Yeah, that's where they all got their start. They were hosting these video game shows. Fantastic when I was homesick from school. That's how I got into it. You know, I'd be home, quote-unquote, sick, sitting on the couch watching a TV show about cheats in a video game. And I was like, this is crazy. But then I'd pull up the video game and I'd try them, because I'd be like, you know, the television told me to, and this is America. I must follow my overlord, you know. And so I started watching these shows, and they had a show. It was like a documentary series. And I wonder if anyone else remembers this. I just looked it up today. It's still on YouTube. It was called Icons. This is what got me really interested in sort of the video game is more than just entertainment, you know, looking at the way it's put together and things like that. Because they had an Icons episode, and each episode was just about a single video game franchise or company, you know. Let me nerd out for a second. And they would just tell the whole history of it. And I watched an episode about Splinter Cell, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, made by Ubisoft. I can't remember the specific studio that made it, but that's who published it. And this documentary fascinated me, because they were breaking down the game to the point where they're talking, you know, this was one of the first games that had this intricate use of shadow, sort of borrowed from Metal Gear, but really leaned into the stealth aspect, where you're doing wall runs and you could get through games entirely without shooting anybody. You know, you just would sneak up behind them, hit them with a karate chop, you know, and they go, ugh. And it was also one of the first games where you could lose just by being seen. Pretty much, I'm pretty sure every mission in the first game, maybe the first two games, you'd get alarms if people saw you or found the bodies. So you're playing this game where instead of just running around like Doom or something where you're just shooting stuff, all of a sudden you've got to, like, you know, karate chop all these dudes. And then after you take them down, you got to hide their bodies in, like, shadows and stuff. And it was the first time I ever was exposed to it from, like, viewing these games as more of a strategic thing in terms of how you play it, and viewing it more as a put-together artwork or picture, as opposed to just being as this sort of entertainment swath thrown at you that you just kind of go through, if that makes sense, which it doesn't. I made sure of that. And it fascinated me. So I went to my mother and I said, Ma, I got to get this Splinter Cell game because this looked crazy. Yeah, I just wanted to try it after watching this. It was very good marketing, I'll say that. And I had never bought a rated M game before, so my mother was kind of really on the fence about it. Luckily, I had all my friend groups, yeah, everyone in my friend group, and this was in middle school, I guess, sixth grade, they all had parents who were like, yeah, just get the game. So I was like, well, if everyone else is playing it, and I played that card hard. So we go and we get this game, and I get Splinter Cell Pandora tomorrow, and Gears of War, the original one. It had just come out like that week, I think. And I started playing these games, and I just got so into it. Every single weekend, we'd rent a different game from the Blockbuster, and we would. So this was pre Gears of War. I don't know what I was thinking. I got that later. Anyway, we'd go to the Blockbuster. And we'd rent a game every weekend with my friends. And we'd go to someone's house and just be like, yeah, fuck it. We'd say fuck it because we thought we were cool. We were hip. We were young. And I'll never forget this one time we got this game. And I think people are with me when I say that I very much appreciate how simple games used to be. Because one game that I loved playing that we would rent all the time was Destroy All Humans. And if you have never played Destroy All Humans, it is exactly what it portrays. It's a game where you play as an alien, and you destroy all the humans. You knew exactly what you were getting into. And it was fantastic. Games nowadays, and I'll preface this, I love Kojima. I gotta say, he's gone a little too far. I haven't played Death Stranding yet. It's a new game that just came out this week. But I will say, Death Stranding, I don't even know what Death Stranding means. And I watched, they released hours of trailers. Still have no clue what the game's about. It looks very cool. No idea what it is. Or what you do. You move stuff around, I think. I mean, I know more now because I've listened to it, but I'm pretending I'm in the past. This is a character. And by the way, if I say anything that offends you, it's a character, I swear. That's what I'm going to say. But anyway, it's crazy. What is it? You know, you hear the word Death Stranding, you think, is it a game where I am stranded and I die? That sounds like not too exciting. It could be. Or is it a game where Death Stranding is more of a state of being? You know, you are being Death Stranded in your mind. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. Destroy All Humans, what you do in that game is you destroy all the humans. And you do them in crazy ways. I remember you could, like, beam people down with a UFO. There was something to do with, I think you could beam cows up in the UFO, which was kind of fun. A little sad for the cows, but beef is bad for the environment, so I'm cool with it. Just lift them out of here. Bring them to aliens. I think that might be a possible way to fight this climate change. No, there's much more effective methods. Look those up, please. But it was fun. And you had, like, a ray gun. You know, I'm pretty sure you could turn people into skeletons in that, and you could, like, levitate people. And the thing that I always thought was the funniest was that you were just a very tiny little alien. And it was third person, so everyone was, like, twice your size. I'm pretty sure you could take over people's bodies. Clearly, I didn't do my reading or research before this. It's a story. It's a story-based podcast. But it was great. And I miss those days where I could just get into a game, you know, go on G4, be like, oh, here's a trailer for something about destroying humans with an alien. That sounds cool. Let's go get it. And that was it. It's all very stressful now. All the news and reporting and everything. So, yeah, after I got into that, I started getting all sorts of games. Then I started getting into designing games. That Velibox wine is kicking in. Hashtag TM, hashtag sponsor me. Please, I need the money. But yeah, I started designing games. And this is going to be a real nerd out. I was big into the modding scene, the Half-Life 2 modding scene, on a website called moddb.com, mod database. And this was one of the most wild sub-microcosms of people in the entire planet. Because we were all essentially working for each other for free. And putting in hundreds of hours of labor. And I wasn't really into, like, the 50s, the 1950s, like, music and history and things. So I decided, oh, this will be fun. I'll make a Half-Life 2 mod, which basically means you're taking an existing game and using their base engine and models and then just replacing a lot of the models and putting in your own animations and extra coding, etc. And I said, okay, I'll start a mod about the 1950s. And me being the brilliant marketer I am, I called it the 50s. Because I said, that'll tell you exactly what you're getting into. It's a game about the 50s. Where you play as like a mafia dude against the cop people, and you fight each other. And so I just started posting all these 3D models I've been making for years using that old program Blender 3D, which I still use today for some freelance work. And I'd make all these 3D models, you know, just post pictures on renders on them on a ModDB page I made for this game. And eventually, it grew to the point where, you know, my friend Chris, who's like a really great animator, was like, this looks fun, but you need someone who knows what they're doing. And I was like, you're the man. And we got my friend Alfred, who's a brilliant programmer and character modeler from England. And it got to the point where I was the lead developer of this mod, and we had about 25 members. And I was one of the youngest people. I started when I was 12, and I did it until I was 16. And, you know, we had a point where we had guys who were like 35, 40 years old living in Greece or England or whatever. And every single day we would all just hop in this Skype voice call. And I would just, and we would just talk, and we'd be like, all right, let's make this game. And it's very cool because we would all just sort of contribute things. And somehow I kept it together for a while until there was a coup. Because I, you know, I got into acting and writing and all that stuff. And so I just had less and less time because these things take forever, especially when you're doing it for free. You know, we were working on this for 7 years, I think. And it just hit a point where I was like, clearly Andy doesn't have the time anymore, which was fair. I didn't. I got ousted, which was kind of a badass feeling. I was like, oh, this is sweet. And it was even sweeter when I saw the game fail after they ousted me. I wanted it to succeed, but after it failed, I was like, eh. Then we tried it again, and it didn't work. So we just released the unfinished version. But it was a lot of fun. And I'll never forget the day I had to fire this dude. 35-year-old English dude went by the username of Potter, P-O-T-T-E-H, I think. One of the biggest assholes I've ever met in my entire life. And I never met him. I never even talked to him on the voice. We just talked over text chat. Insufferable. This guy stole a bunch of models from other games, you know, crates, hands, all that crap. Replaced all the ones that I had made and said, Andy, no offense, the models that you make suck. So I made better ones and I put them in. I was like, okay, they're better, so we'll keep them. I found out they were just stolen from a different game. So I fire this dude. Imagine being in this position. I'm firing a guy who's old enough to be my father from working on a project that nobody's getting paid to do. And he got upset with me because he stole assets and passed him off as his own to try to impress the child who he is performing free labor for. It was absurd. And it was completely real. And I wish I still had the chat log from when I fired this guy, because he went off. I understood why they have these anti-bullying PSAs, why you got celebrities coming out and saying, bullying, it's not great. Because this guy came right out of the gate. Thank God I thought he was a joke at the time, or else I would have taken this stuff seriously. This guy comes right out of the gate. He says, oh, yeah, I'm fired. And I said, yeah, you are. And he goes, well, I think you should kill yourself. And here's a note to everybody listening. One, never kill yourself. Don't do it. And two, if someone tells you to, know that they are the lowest form of person, especially in this context. And instead of taking them seriously, laugh at them because they're just sad. That's what it is. And he said this to a child 20 years younger than him because he got fired. So I started laughing at him, and I said, this is a pathetic display, and I'm terribly disappointed. I was giving him like a talking down, and he flips out. He goes, oh, well, you know, all of this sucks. And I was like, well, then why'd you want to be a part of it? He's like, well, because I thought I could make it better since it sucked. And I said, yeah, you're fired. I'm ranting at this point. And that's what happened. I posted the chat log online because he was on other teams. I said, just so you know, this is how this dude steals a bunch of stuff, and it'll probably ruin the reputation of your game. You know, if he was just a jerk, that's one thing, but he was ruining these guys' reputation. So you got banned from all these websites. And I never felt like more of a badass because I was 13. It's terrifying in a good way. The good, bad, medium kind of terrifying, which is right where you want to be. So before I continue, let's drop another rap about that. Let me ramp it up. We'll decompress with this little rap. Gonna hit you with my words. Let them drip like tree sap. Drip, drip into your motherfucking earlobe. Gonna make you sit back. Gonna make you say, whoa, this boy can rap. He's is outstanding. Everybody look at him. He is landing on the ground with both feet, and he's landing on the beat. Can we hear it? I don't know. He did not check his levels before this recording session in his studio. And by studio, I mean studio apartment, though. It is a nice one, paid for it myself. Yes, because I have got a job, employment. It's something else, mother. Can you hear me in the back? Can you hear me? Maybe you are at work, sitting in the sack. That's your bed. Maybe you are brushing your hair on your head or doing something else. What can I say? I forgot that this was supposed to be about video games. Well, anyway, that guy I just told that story about, he was a real jerk. That's pretty much the beginning and end of that story. It's a storied past, gonna last, yeah. And by the way, this music is copyright free. I'd say who made it, but it doesn't say. I guess it's called Chill Out Records. I think that's what it says. That rap got away from us in the perfect kind of way, if you ask me. So anyway, that all happened. And while I was making that game, to continue my story with a brief rap interlude, as all interludes go, I'm making this game, and that's when I made my first podcast appearance. It was on a podcast called The Mod Informer, run by my buddy Sean. And by buddy, I mean we used to talk 10 years ago. But he's a great dude. Ran this website. They ran an article about our mod because we had started... You know, at the height of this, we were the number 10 ranked on this page somehow, just because I was pumping out images every day because I had no life. I would just, during the summer break, I'd just sit in my basement because I was a kid, and I would just pump these things out. So we just got a lot of traffic that way. And we got invited onto the podcast because they had done a report on one of the trailers we put out. And this is what happened. So we're on this podcast, and a lot of the product placement that I put in the mod was Coca-Cola stuff. Not like they were paying me. I did it because I had a very simplistic view of the 50s at the time. I was like, oh yeah, it was all leather jackets, suits, and Coca-Cola. In like Coca-Cola jukeboxes, and there was like a Coca-Cola bottles that you could shoot, they'd break. A lot of Coke placements. And so these guys asked me about it in this podcast interview. And I made a joke. I was like, oh, yeah, haha. I actually wrote a song about Coke because Coca-Cola, because I like it so much. I made that distinction there so people didn't take this as a soundbite, me talking about Coke. So anyway, I made that joke, and they said, oh, really? Play it for us. And so I had to follow through. That's when I first started my career as a freestyling strange musician on the side of the street. So I pulled over my little keyboard. This was 2011, so I was like, I don't know, 14, something like 14, 15, I don't know. And this was a little clip from that podcast, The Mod Informer. 2011.
What is this sitting here? It is Coke in a cup. Coke in a cup. Coca-Cola from the 50s sitting in the cup. It's brown with
a single
ice
chord.
Cubes in a glass.
Now
cup.
I play two
Coke
chords.
In a cup, in a cup, in a cup. The 50s.
Bravo, bravo. That was good.
Guys interviewing me.
That was amazing.
They clipped that song. They posted it on YouTube. It got maybe a thousand views, it looks like here. somebody comments, that's my new ringtone. They link to a ringtone download. All of a sudden, that's people's ringtones. Maybe five people. And then someone else just said, I can't stop listening to this, and I'm worried. Which sums up most of my content. I hope that's how you feel every time you listen to this. And even better, after they posted that, another guy whose username on YouTube is Half-Life Fanboys, you know, he's just about as hip as me, he posts a cover that he recorded of this song. And I'm going to play it here. It's 47 seconds. I'll cut it out if somebody claims it, but I don't think this is monetized. It got 1.3K views. This is the audio. He's from Brazil, it looks like. He records himself. It says, Coke in a Cup song, and then in the parentheses, cover of the 50s. Cover of the song I made up in that podcast. He's got this weird artistic intro. Misspelled 50s, but I like it. Here it is.
What is this sitting here? It is Coke in a cup. Coke in a cup. Coca-Cola from the 50s.
I love this guy.
In a cup. It's brown with some ice.
Convince you somebody I must have known that
last saying. Cup. Coke in a cup. In a cup. In a cup. The 50s.
Nice little flourish at the end. Yeah, somebody sent me that. Blew my mind. And there was another video somewhere of that guy playing it at like a talent show, I think. But I can't find that link. And then they like interview him. And so I had somebody that I knew who spoke Spanish translate it for me. And they were like, oh, why did you play this song? And he was like, well, I like to support independent artists. Didn't have the heart to tell him that that wasn't art. That was me. It was much like this, me talking on my ass. So it is art. I call it art. We'll call it art. That's what I've decided. So anyway, that happened. All of that happened. And it was enlightening, you know, because an experience like that, it's a very unique sort of view on the video game landscape, on the industry, as they call it. Not I, because I'm no longer in that industry. And when I was, I did not make much money. But nonetheless, it was very stressful. Because as soon as I had real responsibilities, when I hit the age of maybe 14 or 15, I was like, geez, if this isn't my entire life, I do not have the time for this. It's the pure fact. You know, you had to be on there every day. Because eventually, the team just got unmotivated. Because like, the leader's always busy. And by leader, I mean idiot. Who just came up with the idea first. And this is what happened. So I had to make a choice. You know, do you want to perform? Because that's way more lucrative. Being a theater actor. Which was what I was going for at the time. Or do you want to make video games? And I made that choice. I'm happy with my choice, I think. And I'm starting to dabble back into it. I'm starting to dip my toes, you know, try to combine the two in a way. Stay tuned on that. Because there is more to come. I still do some freelance work. And it all culminated when I moved out here to Los Angeles. And I was looking for a day job, right? We all look for day jobs. It's not fun. And if you think, even people you wouldn't think have a day job, they have a day job. This one time, one of the guys from a Gus Van Sant movie. Big hits. One of the lead characters from Elephant. He was my Uber driver. I got in the car. I was like, oh, I just saw your movie. That was a depressing movie, but, you know, good stuff. And he said, yeah, not much money in that one. Then we had a silent Uber drive for 40 minutes. It was very sad. He was one of the guys in it. So anyway, yeah, get a day job. You get a day job. I came out here. I got a day job working for a video game company. I won't say which one. Mainly because I probably shouldn't. I'm working for this company. And basically, I was doing live support. You know, so it was just a lot of live support. I was sitting there helping young video game customers who, as you can probably imagine, are the most relaxed, nice people on the planet. Crazy stuff happened at this place. And I totally get the whole crunch thing. And this was just a little peek into that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, in the video game industry, it has this huge issue right now with crunch. You know, there's talk of unionization, which might be a good idea. I'm not an expert on it, so I'm not going to expound, to use a big word. But there's all this going on because crunch. Because, you know, basically the way these games are developed is the first 90% of the time that you're developing the game, you don't do much. And then in the last month, you make the whole game. I'm exaggerating, but just a little. Basically, you backload it, the development. And or that's what ends up happening because they want to fix a million things right before release, which happens. And because of this, they have crunch. Not normal crunch. You know, there's been reports on Kotaku and a couple of other video game journalist sites that I recommend looking into, where they break down, you know, there's employees who are encouraged to work upwards of maybe 80 to 100 hours a week. That's double what your overtime should be. You know, if you're working overtime, you're doing 50, maybe 60, 70 if you're a lawyer, God bless, or God forbid. But you're talking 100 hours a week for some people. Absurd that it's even allowed. And they're doing this, and people are killing themselves, you know, not literally, but, you know, they're just running themselves into the ground. And it's a real problem. And when I was working at this company, I would see it, you know, they would have these sort of subtle tactics, you know, where you'll be working, they say, you know, people who really care about this business, you know, they work through their lunches. Or if it's busy, you know, and you're a real team player, you would work through your lunch. Or you would skip a break and help your bros out if you really care. Things like that. All of a sudden, you feel pressured to be putting in, you know, 60 hours a week when you're, you know, 20 years old. Because every time, you know, you say, I don't know if I can do that. You know, I'd rather just take my break. You know, it'd be like, they'd be like, okay, just know that there's 100 people who want to work in this industry. Stuff like that. And just be aware that there's other people who want to do what you're doing. And they would do it for less. That was sort of the understated tone of a lot of it. It was very disappointing. And that's when I realized. I said, these guys, when some people get into this industry, they get blinded by the almighty dollar, as with every other business, I guess. To the point, as with many businesses, as with every business in the big picture, where your employees become a expenditure. And when you're investing, especially with these high investments in a single product, you want to cut corners or cut costs where you can. And you want to get maximum productivity to reduce costs in that way as well. So you're caught in this conundrum where you sort of incentivize the employees to work a lot of overtime by basically making it to where they have to. Either because that's the only way they can make enough money, or, you know, because they just feel like they'll be letting everybody down. You know, it's sort of like a corporate guilt trip. Very crazy. And that's why I got into the more lucrative business of performance art. I need a drink. It was wild. These are things that just happen. You know, that was my, and it's unfortunate that that was my first experience in that realm outside of, you know, my own stuff. And so I sort of had a predisposition after that to focus on producing as opposed to working for, but that's mainly just because of that experience. But what can you do? Life is a roller coaster and we're all just waiting for the up part, as they say. That's the most uplifting phrase I think I've come up with. But what can you do? It was a great experience for the time. And by great, I mean stressful. But it was a learning experience, that's for sure. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed most of the people. I did. But sometimes you get in those environments where you just don't have a choice. You know, you have to be like, am I willing to keep doing this? Or do I know I'm worth more? Or well, it's not even that. Everybody has to value themselves to a certain, you know, you have to decide how much you are worth to yourself. And if you're, and if you feel like you're not being valued that way, and that you justifiably could be, you look for other opportunities where you might find that. And that's what happened. But I digress. I still play games. I have a VR headset. I'm working on a VR app. That's what I have in the works for people listening. Sort of a combination of screenwriting, video game development, and a couple other things that make me sound like a D-bag. I'm always afraid that that happens. But somebody told me a long time ago, they said, if you're into weird stuff, then be into weird stuff. As long as it's not damaging to other people, I should say. Don't be some sort of crazy, weird person. I don't even know what I'm allowed to say anymore. Don't be absurd. Just be heard. Put that on a t-shirt. That's the first piece of merch. Hit me up if you want that one. But that's what it is, you know? And that's why I made this podcast. Because I had that moment where I was... I had one of those identity crises, as we all have, where I was like, oh, I'm a little bit weird. I'm into some bizarre niche topics. And I was thinking about... I tried to hide it for a while, you know, when you're in school. But then I was like, you know what, this is... I'm putting too much effort into this. As I imagine a lot of us felt at some point about something. So I was like, I'm just gonna back up a little. I'm gonna do the things that I enjoy for a while. And, you know, not be afraid to talk about it as long as I'm not pushing it on people. And see the kind of people that I attract, you know? Or the kind of people that you end up being around when you just lean fully into something that you're interested in. Not to preachy preach. But when I play F chords, it gives me that feeling. So that's what I did. And all of a sudden you're surrounded by a lot of people, or you never knew where as cool as they were, because you're always like, ah, I gotta hang out with those, what are kids into these days? Basketball players? I don't know. I digress. You have an image that you can knock down. That's what happened. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. But I'm glad you're all here and we're talking about it. And that's what I've done since then. You know, I've led by leaning into those passions or just interests. You know, if you're interested in something, even if you're like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life, just check it out for a month or two. As long as it's not something wild, or well, it can be wild, just not dangerous. And you know, see if you like it. And if you don't, be like, okay, I'll go back now. That was quite a journey. And then go out on stage and do a stand-up set about it. That's what I do. I got all sorts of weird things to talk about. I think that covers most of what I can say about video games. Basically, my endeavor with this podcast was to make it not about analyzing a topic or breaking something down. We're doing a lot of research on something, but sort of approaching a topic or a conversation from a story perspective. You know, what do you remember? And I'm going to have some guests on soon, and we're going to approach it from this way as well. When you think about this, what memories does it bring up? And tell us some stories. And that's what I did here, and I had some fun with it, and I hope you did too. If you made it this far, I hope you support me, support everybody, but mainly me and my friends and people that you support. And if you do support me, you can find me on the Instagram, the Twitter, all that good stuff at Andy Southern, IRL, because that's my name, Andy Southern. It's a strange name and it's a real name in the family. But yeah, you can find me on all those places, and I hope you do. And if you don't, that's fine. You know, that's your prerogative. I like the word prerogative. It's a good word. Maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll do an hour-long conversation on the word prerogative. That's how you make good content, Andy. God damn it. That's how you get the millennials into it. I'm hoping the word video game draws them in. Or at least the, is something. Maybe the word nerd. That's why I put it in there. It's gotta be great for SEO. I digress. Nothing's great for SEO these days. I thought that would go somewhere. It didn't go anywhere. And that's okay, because sometimes you just gotta let things out. But I hope I hope you come back. And if you do come back, send a friend. Send two friends. Maybe even three. As long as the third one isn't a freak. Ah, hell. They can be a freak. We welcome freaks here. And by we, I mean me. It's just me. Yeah, my cat. He was a bit upset at me. But she's being catty. That was a good pun, by the way. I'm a good pun artist. Anyway, join me next week. We're going to have a new topic. We're going to have some new conversation. We might even have a new guest. Or a first guest. Catch me in episode 2 of The Obscure Nerd. Now let me leave you with a rap. I'll freestyle rap us out of here. Chill Out Records hits us with a beat. We'll all reflect as we wait for it to drop. Hopefully it does drop. Maybe it won't. Yeah, it's not gonna drop. This is great. I really prepared. Moe, it did drop. Here comes the little beat. Let it hit you flop, flop, flop on the ground like a little goldfish. Gonna go around town, put you in water, in a dish, fresh water. That's the best kind. Gonna find a little person with a little fish mind. I love fish cause they hypnotize me, swimming round in circles and they're running circles round me. What can I do? They got scales and eyes. They look all around and they say, hey guys, I'm a little fishy. Can you hang out with me? Can you do it all the time? Can we have some fun? Yippee! Alliteration, this is my creation. We're having lots of fun on episode 1. And when we are done, we're gonna have more fun. Yeah, I rhymed a word with the word that was the same, and that is what I'm doing now. I'll see you next time. We'll play this game. Thank you for joining me. I'm Andy Southern. Peace out.